One thing about these things, they can turn you on and turn you off. I was thinking about, he's talking about the black beans. About 6 years ago, we went down to Guatemala border down there, back up in the mountains, and there about seven of us went from Nuevo Laredo and went down there, and there's one boy about your size, he went with us. I can take anything. I can take it all. I said, there you go, it's fine. So, we got down there, first meal, black beans. They've been boiled till there wasn't no water in them. Dry. Then they gave each plate, they had a plate about that big around, and it was heaped up with black beans. There was about 20 tortillas sitting there right beside it. And a cup of coffee about that big around sitting like that. No sugar, no nothing, it's just black, fresh coffee from the field. And I was raised on the mission field. I know the tricks. So, I said, I know how to do away with this food and not even have to eat none of it. So I sit down, but I was the only one that got a chair. So I sit down there, and I looked on the table, there was two little kids. I said, thank you, Lord. So I threw me a tortilla full of beans. When they bowed to pray, I handed one up under there. And everybody sitting around, choking and gagging, and I was just feeding them. And I was sitting there with a grin, and I wasn't choking at all. We went by 5 days like that. Black beans for morning, dinner, and supper. Dry black beans. And when we went to leave, that boy was with us. The last day he said, I've been trying to figure out where you're putting all them beans. I said, that's fine. He said, all you have to do is, if you really want to know, you got to make that eyeball work real good. And make that work real good to figure out how to slip by everybody looking at you. So he sat there and watched me. He caught me on the very last tortilla. And then he figured out how to do that thing. And when he got in the car to leave, we got down the road, he says, I figured it out too late. He said, but next time, I'll even know that trick. I said, well, I tell you what, you gotta get up before I do. Talking about working missionary kids growing up in the field and wanting to go back. We moved to Mexico in 1955. And I remember a statement this person asked me. They said, don't you ever resent going to the mission field with your parents? Didn't they deprive you of anything? I said, no, they deprived me of that. I come back to the States and I look at a deprived nation. Amen. You're deprived of blessings on top of blessings on top of blessings. I read a verse a while ago where it says, And when the prophets and the priests shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? And missionaries are burdened. Oh, they got burdens in them. No, they don't have this and they don't have that. No. What burden? Read the rest of the story in Jeremiah 23 sometime. Read the story and see what kind you get for just saying it's a burden. Just read it sometime. Not now, because we're going to get into some other verses. But just read it. When you start saying, oh, I've got a burden. I'm a missionary. Well, poor missionary. They say missionary. You know how you can tell when a missionary is born? Whether he's a preacher or a missionary? Missionary's like this and a preacher's like this. I better change my note, hadn't I? But I know one thing, growing up on the mission field, this is the honest truth. As I was growing up, the only time I was scared when we would come back to the States. I was never scared when I was with my parents in Mexico. I was never scared. People said, weren't you scared?
No, I wasn't.
Because I knew without a shadow of a doubt my dad was where the Lord wanted me. I learned that if you're not where the Lord wants you, you're walking on thin ice. And it's expensive to walk on thin ice. I mean, there's a price to be paid. We say, oh, sinners are going to get their due reward. Hey, what does the scripture say? Something about, I can't recall the words exactly, something about something begins in the house of God first. You got it right, don't you? Where does it begin?
Amen.
Does it?
Amen.
Right. The last people don't get judged first. Who's going to get taken out of this world first? Right? We got a heavy price to pay. Oh, the sinners. There's a lot of sinners. But the reason why there's a lot of sinners is because they can't see Christ for us. You know the other day that Gandhi fellow? They shot him? Gandhi over in India, Gandhi. Okay, his daddy made a statement. If it wasn't for Christians, I would be a Christian. And he died and went to hell. And his son died and went to hell. Christians? That's why it's going to start in the house of God. You know, let's open our Bibles in the book of Matthew. Some of the times I thought he was going to steal my message, he jumped over there to Matthew. I said, oh, no, he doesn't try to get it from me. But Matthew 13. I'll show you how close. He is in verse 34 and I'm in verse 47. But his begins with the same thing mine begins with. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. Verse 45, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. Verse 47, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net, which was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, drew to shore, and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be that the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord, do you understand these things? What does that mean? The good fish set apart. The bad fish are not thrown back into the sea. They're thrown away. A fisherman will never throw the bad fish back in. Because if he takes the good out and puts the bad in, takes the good out and bad in, after all, he's not going to have nothing to fish. So you throw them away. You realize when Christ comes, those that die without Christ are gone to hell. They're thrown away. They're not put back in the river or the lake. They're thrown away. They're thrown away. I was reading the other day a verse that said, woe unto them that desire the day of the Lord. I always thought, man, I like to see the Lord come. I want the Lord to come back. Well, I ran across that verse and it'd be like somebody, I mean, you'll pitch all four piles out and you said, you seen these tractor trucks when they lock up on the road, they just, it's locking, it's out, it's like that, finally get stopped. And that's about like what I did. Did you realize that when the Lord comes, what's left goes to hell?
That's right.
And he went, Lord, come on, this is a terrible place. Did you know when he comes, they're going to hell? And we're going to walk on streets of gold, singing, oh, how I love Jesus. It's not a funny picture. It's not a pretty picture. We've got a heavy price to pay. Look in the book of John, chapter 21. We'll come back to it in a little bit. But let's look in John, chapter 21. Starting with verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples of the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon, Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, or Didymus. And Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and his son of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples, undercover agents. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, Nah, we got nothing. Ain't nothing here. There ain't no fish. Right down inside there, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and it'll give you a little, amplify the story a little bit bigger. You'll find that Jesus was standing on the seashore teaching the people. And they were out there fixing their nets, and they didn't catch nothing else. You know, fishermen, they got their stories. They're trying to figure out what they're going to tell the wife when they get home because they didn't catch nothing. How they lost it because the nets were broken. And they were mending the nets. Yeah, the nets probably had been broken for a long time. They had to have excuse to prove the cuts on their fingers. See, we didn't. We were looking for good excuse. They caught the fish. A fishy story they had. But you know, I like how the Lord works. Like they're saying, the religious people, Jesus jumped all over. I mean, you hypocrites. But the lost people, he just sort of tender works with them. And with his children, he tender works with them. Notice here, children, you don't have any fish. He could have said, hey, you lazy preachers out there, what you doing? But what did he say? Children. What does that mean? Children are inheritance of the Lord. We love our children. We take care of our children. We don't let them get in trouble, and we watch over them close. That's why the Lord, he said, look, I know my boys are out there fishing. They're discouraged. They fought. The missionary was on the floor. He fights and he fights. The preacher back home, he fights and he fights and he just feels like, there ain't no fish out here. He gets slapped up. He just laying there. He said, let's go fishing, boys. Ain't nothing going on. The Lord says, I know my boys are discouraged. So he stood there by the seashore teaching the other people that was there. And they were so discouraged just a few feet out there. They could have heard him preach. They heard him talking. But they were so discouraged they couldn't hear nothing. He was there teaching the people. So he turns around and hollers, hey, got anything? Nah, ain't nothing out here. You can hear the old sailors how they'd holler. Nah, ain't nothing here. Have you ever been fishing? And there's a fella sitting over here, another fella, hey, what you got? Ain't nothing over here. You can hear him, can't you? Lazy. Then they ain't got nothing going. Nah. Verse 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast the nets. They cast therefore, and knew, and now they were not able to draw up from the multitude of fish. I can see them now, can't you? The net hit the water. The fish were in the net, and I could see them with their hands on the net, and the bow rang. That ain't just somebody saying, is there fish? He caught us red-handed with the net in the hand and the fish on the net. And the stink in the hand. Couldn't say they ain't been fishing. They were in the wrong place. But it's something. If you notice, the Lord never spanks us that way. I mean, we get down and we just can't seem to make it no more. He said, boys, I know. He backtalked them. If you notice the story, so he backtalked them, all of his disciples, they went up fishing. And then he picked them up in the right manner. Amen. He didn't leave them with no fish. I tell you, one thing I hate is going fishing and not catching nothing. If I'm going to go, I want to catch something. So I stop by the store and buy something. So we give them fish. They have their spirits up. We caught fish. We went fishing. But then when he gets them ashore, the song changes around. But you know, before we can keep going, the Lord has to pick us up. Amen. He has to get our hearts in tune with him. Amen. Before we can sing a song. He had to tune us. I like the guitar music. I don't know, something about it just sounds beautiful to me. I never could figure out how to play all them strings at one time anyway. They look good. But one of these days I'll be able to sing when I get to heaven. And they won't say, I can't carry a tune in the bucket. Did you know there's a person in the Bible that carried a tomb in the bucket? Who would that be? The woman at the well. She had a tomb to take back to town. Did she? She went away singing? Came back a booming? Others to the water? Well, more or less, but I mean, yeah. We better keep going here. People say, where there's preachers, where do they get the joke book? Well, that's the preachers. That's where we all come from, but that's because we got something that's worth laughing about.
Amen.
And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and they shall find. And ye shall find. They cast their nets, and now they were not able to draw up for the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. It's the Lord. Hey! Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he gave his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish lay thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fish, 143, for all there were so many, yet the net was not broken. You know, it's surprising what all you can do with a little bit. Man, I can't do it with that. Hey, look and fill it up.
Amen.
And fill it up.
Amen.
And fill it up and it won't break.
Amen. That's right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Amen,
he can. I've seen him do it. I've seen impossible situations. It can't fit. It will.
Yeah.
You know, they came to shore, and if you notice there, he had fish already cooking. There was some bird cooking. He gave them the fish and he fed them. Isn't that good?
Amen.
They were not doing what he wanted them to do, discouraged, but yet, children, you have anything? Throw them out on the other side. There's some fish over there. I brought them some oranges. Hook them up for you. You got them. Come on the shore, and let's get something to eat. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples just asked him, who art thou? They knew who he was. That's my sweet Lord.
Amen.
He takes care of us. Knowing that it was the Lord, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. This is now the third time. Three. Right? Okay. Let's keep reading. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. What did Peter say at the first, in verse 3? He said, Simon Peter said unto him, I'll go fishing. He's got some copycats.
Yeah.
Do we have any copycats in here? I'll go fishing. I'll go too. I cut my head off. Me too. I really believe that's why the Lord told Simon Peter three times, Simon, you're leading the sheep wrong. You let them fishing for the wrong kind of fish. You know what suckers are? You're a carp. The suckers. He let them fish carp. Suckers. They're right there. And all they caught was pure carp. They were big fish. I don't know if that's what he caught, but I have a sinking feeling that's what they caught. Because if you notice, all the time in scriptures, it sort of reveals what they catch and the way they act by the things they get. And I wouldn't doubt that's what it was. But I can't say because it's not written down. But sometimes I make my mind wonder. And then, everybody's going to like this one here. Verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest where thou wouldest. But when thou wast old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whether thou goest not. Wants to go. You know, while you're young, while we're young, we better follow the Lord. That's why the Lord told Peter, Simon Peter, do you love me? He said, right now, you can go where you want to go. In a minute, you're not going to go where you want to go. You're going to go where they tell you to go. I was thinking, you were talking about a while ago, missionaries, you know, people going to the mission field. Oh, I'm too old. How old was Moses when he went to the mission field? 80? 180? Right around 80 years old? Is that too old? Little as much if God is in it. It doesn't matter your age. You can still go to the entire world and preach the gospel. You may not can go to a foreign field, but I know people that were old and they went to the foreign field. They didn't stay there but a month or two, but I tell you what, they were like Isaac. There were some wells. And they still flowing today. Don't worry about how many you're going to dig. Worry about starting to dig one.
Amen. Amen.
You can't dig two unless you dig one.
Amen.
I always thought, being that Daddy was a missionary, there was no need of being two. You know, one of the families, you know, suffice. But I found out that that's not how it works. The Lord raised me up on the field. I was trained. And if I don't use the talents the Lord gave me, He's going to take them away. That's why so many people in the churches today are dead. They've thrown their talents away.
Yeah.
The Lord gave them a little bit of talent, and you can't start something. He can't give you more talent until you learn how to use that talent. And so He gave you a little talent, and you looked at it, phew, ain't nothing to that. And you set it down. I want something bigger. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
And the Lord can't give you nothing until you use that one.
Amen.
And you set it down and you lost it. You don't know where it's at. There's something about going back to where you began and find out what you set down and you pick it up. It's like the fellow that come to sacrifice and brought his dogs there to sacrifice. And when he got there, he realized he owed somebody something. So he left it there and went and straightened it out. If you forgot something, let's go back and get it. And then you can come back and the Lord got your mother there waiting for you. But fix that one first. This spake he, signifying by the death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken these, he saith unto them, follow me.
Amen.
That is two words, and it doesn't say follow them, or follow soon, or so. It says follow me. He goes on further. The story goes, and Peter said unto him, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall these men do? Jesus said unto them, if I will that they tarry till I come, what is it? What is that to thee? Follow me. But Lord, so-and-so, he's a missionary's kid. So-and-so, he's a preacher's kid. So-and-so's a deacon. So-and-so's a Sunday school teacher. They should go to the mission field. Or they should do this. Don't you worry about them. You worry about yourself. You fix it with God, because one day you're going to stand before Him, nose to nose, and nobody going to stand beside you. Must I go empty-handed? I preached Sunday about Christians calling themselves Christians. They say they get saved. They're born. It's like a baby. When a baby is born, in the hospital, you see the little creature sitting there, laying there, just there.
They bring it to your room. If it don't eat, what do you do? Doctor, it won't eat. Isn't that the truth? Scared to death. Why is it? When a person receives the Lord as a Savior, they never grow. And we never get worried about it. They're a babe in Christ. And the other Christians around us just see him come in. How you there? There we go. Hey, they're babes. And they're not growing. They're not producing nothing. What are we born to do? What is a person born in the family of God to do? What is glorifying him? Bearing fruit. What kind of fruit? Pruning fruit trees? Huh? Leading souls to the Lord. And if you don't produce, there's something wrong with the tree.
Amen.
What did the Lord do to the fig tree that didn't have nothing on it? The disciples come back in the evening and they dry it up. They're worried about it. But are we worried about the Christians? And I preached about it, and this lady in our church, she's about 81 years old. She come up after church and said, I ain't never led a soul to the Lord. She said, I've been working on my sister, but I just can't get her to see it. She's 87. And the doctor said she was going to die, and I'm worried about her. And I just can't explain it. She don't know how to read. So I said, yeah, I'll give it to you. I'm going to see it. Sure will. So she arranged for me to go this past Monday. That was Sunday, and then Monday I went over to see her. And there she was. She's laying in bed. So I rolled her over. I said, may I talk to you about Jesus Christ? She said, that's what I asked you to come for. So I sat down there, and her daughter was sitting there on the couch. Her other daughter was the grandma, the other grandma, and the other mama, and the daughter. Four generations sat down on the couch, and I had the glorious privilege of showing them how to get into heaven. And all four generations bowed their head and accept the Lord. I've never done it before. And that was like this old fellow up in the Tennessee mountains up there, hearing the preacher preach. He was sort of tongue-tied, and he was up in his age, and preacher preaching, and he was back there preaching. Preacher getting meaner and meaner, meaner and meaner. Yeah, amen, preacher. Getting meaner and meaner, meaner and meaner. Finally, one day, he wasn't there. He didn't come to church, and the preacher got worried. So he went to the house, and he wasn't there. He was at the hospital. Went in there, and what's the matter? Preacher, I know that you're going to happen one of these days. He's saying, you're preaching, you're getting gooder and gooder and gooder and gooder, and it numbed up to my blood. That's what I think about soul winning. You can't find nothing better. Have we lost anything? No. Did we give something up to the Lord? No. And then back over there in Matthew chapter 13, verse 51. I'm going to close with this verse. Let's all read it out loud. Got it? Matthew 13, verse 51. Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Did you understand these things tonight? I heard every one of you say, yea, Lord. There's out the door, there's millions dying and going to hell. And I heard every one of you say in here, I understand. Did you know a church is compared to a football field? You know that? A church is like, you know when they're out there playing football, and when they call, and they go to a huddle, they're all in a bunch step there, don't they? They're getting what? What their instructions, right? What they're going to do. And then what do? They turn around and make a line. That's what you're doing in here right now. You're in the huddle. You don't go to the football field and pay your, what is it, 20 or 30-something bucks to sit there and watch them in the huddle.
Amen.
You pay them to go out there to stand nose to nose.
Amen.
To the opposition. God's not getting a drop of blessing out of you sitting in here. He's only going to get a blessing when you put your nose to nose to a lost sinner.
Amen.